Ephesians 5, verse 18. The Bible says this, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We see here the product, or some of the products, evidences of a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to use the verse number 20 as my beginning text today for the message this morning. The Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The title of my message today is For and In. For and In. Two little words, one 3 letters long, for, and one 2 letters long, in. Martin Luther once said this, he that has but one word of God before him, and out of that word cannot make a sermon, can never be a preacher. Last Sunday night, we had a missionary come by who preached on the word it. Some of you are here for that. Did a great job. Never thought of it. He just went through the Bible, and all the times Jesus was called it. And it was very, very interesting, his application. One two-letter word. Well, I got two small words today I want to speak on the subject of for and in. Notice the word for in verse number 20. The Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to speak about Thanksgiving today. I don't want to wait till November. I promised myself last year I was going to speak about Thanksgiving more than just November during Thanksgiving season. I want you to notice here that when we are right with the Holy Spirit, in verse number 18, we will be right with the Son, in verse number 19. We will be right with the Father, in verse number 20. We will be right with each other, in verse 21. And we will be right in our family, in verse 22 through 25. You see, it's hard to fake being filled with the Spirit. There's a lot of things going on nowadays, and especially in church services, that they claim is the filling of the Holy Spirit. But we see in the context that when a person is right with the Holy Spirit, in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit, he'll be right with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in verse number 20. He'll be right with the Father in verse number 20, verse 19. He'll be right with the Father in verse number 20, and then he will be right with the other brethren in verse 21, and what is right means submission. When a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, they will be in submission to the body of Christ. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. See, it's hard to fake being filled with the Spirit. A lot of people who are not in submission to the body of Christ, they're very rebellious. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. A carnal person is not subject. They're not in submission. They have an attitude of rebellion. They have a stubborn attitude. They do not get involved. They are not submissive. When we are filled with the Spirit, verse 21 says, we will submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submission. Submission to each other, submission to the church. Not rebellion, not stubbornness, not a standoff spirit. I'm not getting involved. No one's telling me what to do. Pastor's not telling me what to do. No, when you're filled with the Spirit, you become submissive. If you're working at the camp this week and you're filled with the Spirit, or next week, you'll be submissive to those that are in leadership over you. It's one of the evidences. There will be submission in the family. Being right with the Holy Spirit will bring about things that are right in the family. The only one you need to fix your family, your marriage, is the Holy Spirit. You don't really need a counselor. You don't need a pastor. You don't need anyone else. The man does what the Holy Spirit tells him to do in the Bible, and the woman does what the Holy Spirit tells her to do in the Bible, and it's fixed. It's fixed, and it's a beautiful thing. And nobody gets stepped on. Nobody's a doormat. Nobody gets wipes their feet on them or anything. No, you have a beautiful relationship. We need to know the Holy Spirit. We have got to know the person of the Holy Spirit, not just doctrinally in our heads, but we've got to know him in our communion and in our hearts. We've got to be submitted to the Holy Spirit, and we've got to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. When we are saved, we are indwelled by the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 8 and verse 9, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you do not have the Holy Spirit of God, you are not saved. When you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit and you know it. Let me say that again. When you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit, and you know it. Romans 8, 9, Romans 8, 16 says this, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you are really saved, the Holy Spirit is going to tell you you are saved, you are one of God's children. If you are here today and you have doubts about it, there's a good chance you might not be saved. But his Spirit gets around to bearing witness to the spirit of every human being who ever trusts Christ as their Savior that they are the children of God. I know that I am one of God's children today. I have been born again. I have been saved. And when we are saved, we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. When we are sanctified, we are filled with the Spirit. And there is a difference between the indwelling and the filling of the Holy Spirit. When you and I get saved, we are indwelled with that Spirit from then on. This body right here that you look at, I know you can't see him, but God the Holy Spirit lives inside of this body. If I go over here, God the Holy Spirit lives inside of this body. You can't see it, doesn't matter. He has promised. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. When you look at me, you look at one who has God, the very Holy Spirit, living inside of my body. He indwells me. But that doesn't mean I'm filled with the Spirit. When you're saved, you're indwelled. When you're sanctified, that means you're set apart unto God. You become more and more holy. Then you are filled with the Holy Spirit. There is one indwelling. There are many, many fillings. It's kind of like when they manufacture a car. They put a gas tank on it one time. But after you get the car, you have to fill the gas tank many times. The Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the present, being constantly filled with the Holy Spirit, just like you have to constantly fill your automobile with gasoline if you want that automobile to function the way the manufacturer created it to function. Now, every one of us is filled with something. We are either filled with sin, or we're filled with self, or we're filled with the Spirit. But we are not filled with all at one time. You and I are filled with something. Many people are filled with sin. They're saved, but they're still filled with sin. They have not come to the point of repentance of sin. They've got pet sins or besetting sins that they coddle and they feed and they take pleasure in those sins. But these people are not filled with the Spirit. Many are filled with self. They just think about themselves all the time. They are the center of their life. Everything they do is for themselves. But when a person can take and work at getting the sin out of their life and crucifying self, dying to self every day and saying, Lord, I just want to be yours. I want to do your will today, not mine. What do you want me to do? Guide me all day long. Then that person can be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we're all filled with something. Now, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, as we begin to look at our text here, there are certain evidences. There are certain evidences that come forth from the Spirit-filled person. One of them is singing. That does not mean you have to be a good singer. But there will be a melody in your heart to the Lord. Most Christian music today is from the outside in. It's fabricated music. It's the constant playing of CDs, the constant playing of Christian radio, whatever that means. And it's just the constant listening to quartets or whatever. And most of the music today in the body of Christ is fabricated by somebody else and goes into our ears. But the Spirit-filled man or woman, it says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice the word yourselves in your heart. The Holy Spirit puts music inside of you. It may be psalms, it may be verses that you have memorized that you can sing, it may be good hymns from the hymn book. But the Holy Spirit-filled man and the Holy Spirit-filled woman is always singing. They are singing. They are not using the music of this world or so-called Christian music as their tranquilizer, as so many do, as background noise. But rather it comes from their heart. I had a lady ask me at the chapel this week. She said, what kind of music do you listen to? I said, I hardly ever listen to music. I hardly ever have the radio on. I hardly ever listen to a CD. I hardly ever listen to any background music. I just like to sing from my heart to the Lord. Doesn't have to be good singing, but he puts a song in our heart. Singing is one of the evidences that a person is filled with the Spirit. Verse 19. Verse 20. No complaining. Another evidence that a man or a woman has been filled with the Spirit is they are not a complainer. In fact, it says the opposite in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to take care of complaining. You realize that when you read the Old Testament, complaining is a sin that God literally, physically, immediately killed some people for. John Wesley one time said, I would no sooner complain or murmur or fret than I would curse or swear. And yet there's some people today, God bless them, I know they're saved, they're indwelled by the Spirit, but they're not filled with the Spirit, because the worst thing you ever want to do is ask them, how are you doing today? And you do not, you train yourself, okay, I got to remember not to ever ask this person how you're doing. Because man alive, you need just about a two-week revival meeting to get over their influence. They depress you so much every time you talk to them. And I believe that person's, I'm not trying to be unkind, but I believe that person's life can be totally transformed if they will be filled with the Spirit. Because when a person is filled with the Spirit, they begin to give thanks. And I'll come back to that. That's our message today. Another evidence that a man or a woman is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, as I mentioned earlier, is submission. Submission. Submission to God. Submission to every one of God's authorities, whether it's a policeman, a judge, the boss at work, the pastor at the church, the father in the home, the mother in the home if you're a child, the husband if you're a wife, whatever the God-placed authority in the person, the Holy Spirit of God will lead a person to be submissive. Submissive. Now, there's some people who think they're filled with the Spirit, but man, they don't want to do a thing anyone tells them to do. And they're not filled with the Spirit. But I want to come back to this number two here and talk about thanksgiving for a while as we have a little bit to go here. We've seen certain evidences of a Spirit-filled person, and they're very submissive. They don't complain. They're always singing. And these are things I want you to watch for in your life, things I need to watch for in my life. Because, man, when you start complaining and you lose that song out of your heart, and you finally say, I don't care what anyone says, and you start to get that rebellious spirit that comes over you, and you better watch it, because you've probably moved away in your relationship with God's Holy Spirit. And you need to come back. This is a checklist I use. It's right there in the Bible. And also, if you start having family problems between husband and wife, maybe some pride has crept into your marriage. And pride is always going to bring contention, according to Proverbs 13 and verse number 10. Now, we're supposed to be thankful people. The Bible says here in our text, in verse number 20, and I want you to see these little words here just for a little bit. In verse 20, it says, giving thanks always for all things. The first thing we need to do is give thanks for all things. Giving thanks always. This is about the best medicine I know for the human soul, is to just give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. Giving thanks always. Now, praise the Lord for our habits of giving thanks just before we eat dinner or lunch or breakfast. We should do that. There's people in the world that don't have any food. And the Bible says we should receive all the food God gives us with thankful hearts. The Bible even says our food is sanctified by the Word of God and the giving of our thanks. So that's a good habit to get into. I mean, at least three times a day, we'll stop and thank the Lord for food. Amen? That's good. And then come November, we thank the Lord because it's Thanksgiving season. But the Bible says giving thanks always. Giving thanks always. Brethren, I can't tell you, and I've taught this part before many, many times, but this is a little secret that I have discovered that on the worst days of my life, if I will practice this verse right here, I can have a revival in about 5 minutes on the worst day of my life. I can have a revival in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And man, all of a sudden, everything is right in my little world again when I start thanking the Lord. Now, I use this outline. And a blue one don't want to work. This is the outline I use. It probably doesn't cover all things. The Bible says giving thanks always for all things. I like to use about three different realms to cover just about all things. Maybe it doesn't, but it sure works for me. First of all is the spiritual realm. That's where I like to thank the Lord for everything spiritual, starting, of course, with my salvation. Starting with Jesus Christ, starting with the Trinity, thank you for thee, O God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, you can just go off on that for a while. God's been awful good to us. And if you'll just thank him for all things, just start in the spiritual realm. Get this outline. I'm telling you, it'll help you through the worst days of your life. Just when you're overwhelmed and the kids are getting to you, the finances are getting to you, your health problems and family problems, marriage problems, or whatever. If you'll just start remembering, man, I'm saved. And thank the Lord for heaven. Thank the Lord for prayer. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit who taught us anything we've ever learned from the Bible. He taught us. You didn't figure it out. I didn't figure it out. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. If you know the Bible, and some of you know the Bible pretty well, don't get a big head like you figured it out. No, the Holy Spirit's been teaching you. Any knowledge you know about the Bible is from the Holy Spirit. We ought to thank him for heaven. We ought to thank him for the church. We ought to thank him for speaking to us through preaching or teaching and the spiritual songs we talked about earlier. And the spiritual realm, you could go through the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. Thank you for love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you that it's all going to end well for me. And man, you can stay on that spiritual thing. Everything's spiritual. Do you like having peace? Do you remember before you were saved that you didn't have any peace? We ought to thank the Lord for that. And then you go on to the material things. Boy, we can, man, this is where Americans ought to just park. We have been so blessed. And you can just go off on this, like I've said before, and just talk about, Lord, thank you for my hot water tank. Thank you for the air conditioners in the windows over the last few weeks. That's been a blessing. Thank you for our stove, our oven, our microwave, our clocks, our radios, our cars, our... And some of you got campers and boats and houses and lawns and lawnmowers and so on, material things. We are so blessed. Our clothes. You know, in Bible days, in the Old Testament times, studies have shown us that the Old Testament saints and those that walked through the wilderness had two, but maybe the richest people had three changes of clothes in their life. Man, my wife has so many clothes in our closet. I can't even push them over to get at my stuff. You know, they're just like jammed in there. Shoes everywhere. We are so blessed. Refrigerators. My, oh my. Food, big food stores, box stores everywhere. Bridges, overpasses, roads. Man, we could park here and just thank the Lord and thank the Lord and thank the Lord. And then the physical. Remember the sermon I gave a couple weeks ago? Did I do that here on the human body? Sometimes I don't remember if it was over at the chapel or here. All the things about the human body, the physical. And not just your body, but the earth, the rain that we had. We needed that rain. And all the trees and the hills and the birds. And man, most of you have eyesight that you can enjoy these things. It's a blessing. My wife said to me the other day, look outside, look towards the lake. And just another beautiful canvas that God painted a beautiful sunset on. Our eyes blink 4.2 million times a year. Remember those statistics we went through? Just some things like that. God's been so good to us. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in closing. I want to show you one thing, however, I think we forget. We've gone through this before. I just want to get to this for a few moments. If you could look at 1 Thessalonians. Chapter number 5 and verse number 18. Because right about here is where the difficulties come in and where this can help us in our spiritual warfare. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 18, the Bible says this, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We have seen, first of all, we're supposed to give thanks always for all things. But now here we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. There's a difference between thanking God for all things and thanking God in all things. And right here is one of the secrets to victory in the Christian life, in this second word. When you can learn, when you can train yourself, when I can train myself to thank God in everything. And this is where it gets tough for some people. And I have seen people, this little verse right here, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I've seen people forget to exercise this discipline, to forget to exercise this truth, and they've ended up bitter. They've ended up angry. They've ended up quitting, giving up, casualties, because they forgot to thank God in all things. Now, what do we mean by this? Let me give you some examples. And I hope you'll catch on to this and then apply it to your personal experience, even though the examples I get might not cover what you're going through. I think you'll get the concept. I don't know if you've ever had a broken heart. But we need to thank God in the breaking of our heart. Somebody broke your heart. Something broke your heart. We need to go to God at a time like that and say, Lord, this is breaking my heart. Thank you. Thank you. I need a broken heart. Because you had a broken heart. I need a broken heart. There is no way anybody will ever be equipped to minister to others in a full capacity until your heart has been broken. You will never feel, you will never sympathize, you will never empathize for anybody to your full capacity until your heart has been broken. I was reading about the missionary Nate Saint, who was scheduled to get married. And then the girl broke it off with him just before his marriage. And boy, how he had a broken heart. But you know, God brought a better lady into his life, Marge, who really supported him. Some of you know the stories. Nate Saint was martyred by the Alka Indians in South America. But he had the right wife to support him and to raise her two children after he was murdered and martyred. And she went back to the very people that murdered her husband and led him to Christ and started a church there. But you know, we have broken hearts because the Lord had a broken heart, and you'll never be able to minister to your capacity until you have a broken heart. The first thing we ought to do when our heart's broken is say, thank you, Lord. Somebody might say, this has really humbled me. This has humiliated me. I have been humiliated. You know, it says in Isaiah 53, Jesus Christ, that in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Jesus Christ was humiliated by this earth. Jesus Christ was humiliated by the people of this earth. He left heaven where angels without number used to worship him and praise him, and cherubims flew around him and seraphims flew around him, and they rested not night and day saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. In John 6, he said, that was all about me. And he was worshiped endlessly by those in heaven. And then he came to this earth. And they couldn't even find a place for him to be born. He was born out in a stable. And then he was despised and he was rejected and he was humiliated by the human race. The modest, holy God of heaven was stripped naked, and in shame he bore our sins. He was humiliated. The Bible says he humbled himself, became a servant, and took upon himself the form of a man that he might die for us and go all the way in his humiliation to the cross, that emblem of shame. He despised the shame. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. No one has ever been humiliated as much as Christ was. Maybe you're here today and say, I've been humiliated. That's a good thing. Praise God. God hates your pride anyway. It's good to be humiliated once in a while. And we ought to thank the Lord. Say, Lord, thank you that I have been humiliated by this. I needed humility. I didn't know there was so much pride in me. This pride is no good. Thank you for allowing this to happen in my life and to bring me some shame. I know that sounds strange, but in everything, give thanks. In suffering, we should say, Lord, thank you because the school of suffering will teach me things that I cannot learn in the classroom of the church, that I cannot learn from the pulpit, that I cannot learn from my personal Bible study. There are things in the school of suffering that I am going to learn about you that I will never see any other way. Thank you, Lord, for this suffering. It sure beats the bitterness some people have when they get the word they've got cancer, leukemia, and their first response is fear. They're paralyzed in fear. Then they go to pieces. That's their first response. The Bible says our first response should be what? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. And then as we go down that path of suffering, if we have given thanks for it at the beginning and say, Lord, I do not know whether I'm going to live through this or if this is going to take my life. But I want to thank you because I know that in suffering, you teach people lessons they'll learn no other way, and you give people glimpses of God they'd see no other way than in suffering. I'm poor, Lord. I don't have enough money. I can't make ends meet. But I want to thank you, Lord, because it is teaching me to be rich in faith. It is teaching me to pray. It is teaching me to depend upon God. And that's a good thing. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be poor, for not letting me have enough, where I have got to stay close to you and depend on you day by day by day to meet my needs. Lord Jesus, you are rich, but for our sakes you became poor, that through your poverty, we might be made rich. Do you realize the most influential man that ever walked this earth lived in poverty? Jesus Christ. So often we think, boy, if I just had more money, that would be the solution to my problem. No, if you just had more faith, if you just knew how to pray more, if you just knew how to fast more, if you just knew how to depend on God. God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. James tells us that. We ought to thank the Lord if the economy of our country falls apart. We ought to thank the Lord when we lose the job or whatever and pray that God will provide something else. I'm all for working and wise stewardship and people being blessed. I'm not against that. But if you are poor and some of you may be poor and perhaps your lot in life is never going to change in this life, you ought to thank the Lord. In everything, give thanks. Someone may say, I'm weak, Lord. I'm weak. I fell again this week. I tried, I fell. I failed. In fact, I feel so lousy, Lord, I don't even think I should go to church. This has been a bad week. You know, you ought to thank the Lord for weakness. Not that you fell. But we got to say, Lord, I'm weak, Lord. Thank you, for it is teaching me to lose all confidence in my flesh and to trust in you with all my heart. Because I will be a vessel of honor someday if I can learn to trust in you with all my heart and lose all confidence in my flesh. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It's those who have confidence in themselves who usually fall the farthest and the hardest. But thank God if you're weak. I mean, thank God. In everything, give thanks. If you're weak and you say, Lord, I've got this fault in me. I've got this besetting sin. I've got this temptation. I'm so weak. Oh, God, help me. But I thank you. I'm thankful today God didn't take it all away from me when I got saved. I'm thankful that in his infinite wisdom, he left some things that I would have to struggle with the rest of my life. I don't know what it was. When I got saved, I quit swearing just like that. I mean, it was just like God flipped the switch and I never cursed him again. I just couldn't bring myself to curse God or curse Jesus Christ again. And there's just some things that as soon as I got saved, man, I just got immediate victory over. But there's other things I've struggled with for 40 years. And I got a feeling I'm going to have to struggle with them until I fall over the finish line someday. But I thank God for those things because they keep me praying. And I do not pray as much as I do because I'm strong. I pray as much as I do because I'm weak. I know it, but some of you don't. That's why you don't pray. You think you're fine. You're not fine. You're weak. We need to discover we're weak, and I don't want you to ever go through what I had to go through to discover how weak I was. But I thank God for weakness and what it teaches me. Somebody may say, I'm alone, Lord. Thank you. Because you were despised and rejected of men. You were a man of sorrows. You were acquainted with grief. They all fled. They all forsook you. And I'm alone, and I know how you feel now. I have entered into the fellowship of your sufferings because of my loneliness. I know exactly how you walked in such a solitary life down here on this earth. Thank you. I hope these illustrations today will teach you to go beyond just thanking the Lord for things. I mean, I like testimony meetings. I like when people say, God gave me a new car, and God took care of this, and God gave me a new job, and all the things people thank God for. But I think the deeper is life is when people start thanking God in. Someone stands up and says, I'm going through the greatest battle in my life right now. But I'm thanking God all the way through it. Because I know He's not going to leave me. I know He's not going to forsake me. I know I'm going to get stronger through this. I know He's going to get the victory. He's not going to fail me. I'm going to learn some things about God through this I'd never learn any other way. Brethren, the deeper life is right here on the number two. Thank God in all things. And I know there's some people here, your hearts have been broken over the last month, some of the things some of you have gone through and shared with me. I think we got, you know, I wish I could get down, I could, but I'd like to come down here, get on my knees, and beg you to come back tonight at 6:30. Because we are in the warfare of our lives right now. And this sermon tonight, I don't know if I've ever preached anything quite like it. But brethren, as hard as it's going to be, and it's going to get a whole lot worse than what I described tonight, we can still thank the Lord in it. Because where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. I want to encourage you to get started in the life of thanksgiving. And if you have already, go to the next level. Don't just thank God for everything, but start thanking Him in everything. In everything. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd help us now in Jesus' name. Help us to give thanks in everything and not just for the blessings. Lord, help us to thank You for loneliness, for sickness, for rejection, for persecution. Help us to thank You in trials, in sufferings, in loneliness, in despair, in demonic oppression, in weakness. Lord, help us to thank You not only for things, but in things. And now, Lord, just bless this invitation time. If there's one among us who's not saved, we pray You'd bring them to Thyself, save their precious souls. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.